Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
Hey there! Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey everybody, happy new year and welcome to our new Big Blend Radio Soul Diving Sundays with Shelly. We are airing this new show every first Sunday with Shelly Wizen. She is the ultimate soul diving guide. She is the founder and CEO of the Soul Diving Institute, and she is also a transformational life coach. She has all kinds of online courses. She has groups. She does a lot. And so I encourage you to go to her website, ShellyWizen.com, and she's also an author. In fact, we met her when her book, What Do You Bring to the Table? A Savory, Sensory, and Inspirational Guide to Living a Yummy, Delicious Life came out. See, she likes us to say yummy, delicious, and we're pretty cool with that. She's also the author of The Healing Journal and The Story of the Magical Baby Grand Piano. So keep up with her again at ShellyWizen.com. She's active on TikTok, on Facebook, on Instagram, all those great places. And today she's joining us to kick off the new year to talk about how to be your authentic self at work. And she's going to talk about soul diving. She's going to use the three B's, which is a really cool system she has to check in with ourselves. So welcome back to the show, Shelly. How are you?
Thank you. I'm so good. I'm so excited. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you both, Lisa and Nancy. I hope all your holidays were fantastic, spending them with friends and family and traveling like you do, you two special women, you. So thank you. I'm doing great.
Well, this is cool. The new year is always exciting. I know we've had some bumpy starts to New Year's over the last few years around the world, but really it's still what you make of it, right? And, you know, as best you can. And, you know, this year, I know there's so much shift and change in regards to working, you know, businesses, whether it's remote, whether you're working in an office, going back to the office part-time, some people just having your own business and working with others, maybe virtual assistants and things like that, and different contractors. So I really like what you're talking about today about being your authentic self, because I think one thing we all know is in relationships, especially, you know, personal and professional, if you're not really being who you are, you know, for me, I have to watch my language here and there. So that's still being authentic. I can still be who I am and clean up my mouth a little, right? So, but authentic, you will lose those relationships, right?
Definitely. So the whole notion, I find it very interesting, of being authentic. So what does that even really mean? I mean, how far down do we go to reveal what's authentic? I mean, there are so many things about ourselves. There are things that we may not want people to know about us. Maybe there are things in the past we did, whatever, whatever. But all of those things made who we are today. So it's just to discern, identify, and choose which things you do want to reveal about yourself. But what I mean by authentic, it's being yourself as an individual, because the one thing that we all have in common, whether you're at home or you're at work, is that we're all human beings, human to human. And so that's the common denominator. So being an authentic human being is what? What does that mean? It's filled with, what do we believe? These three B's, the three B formulas, just being aware of What do you believe? How, because everything in life is made up on a belief, everything, every single thing. And it determines how we behave, which is the second B. So whatever we believe determines how we behave, and who we become determines from how we behave. So they're all tied together. Each one, each B is important to take a look at. When we go, we have certain values. So if we identify what values those are that are important to us, the places of our jobs or the people that we work with, are they in alignment with those values? Did we pick an organization that has similar values so that we can get behind the bigger vision and work together as a team because I believe in what the company believes? Sometimes we we get a job and we just go to get a paycheck because there's something else better waiting, or we think something, we want something else meantime. But the thing is, we get it wrong. It doesn't matter if this isn't the job of a lifetime. It doesn't matter. Just like we shared before, when you travel and you stay in somebody's home, your tendency is to want to clean it. There's maybe you're preparing it for yourself. You're changing the energy of the environment to make it yours so you feel comfortable. And your level of cleanliness may be different than somebody else's level of cleanliness. So it's what we bring into every experience. And then it doesn't matter if we're at home or if we're at work. Does that make sense?
Right. It does. And I used to work for an insurance company, worked there. I started out as a file clerk and I ended up as a bodily injury insurance adjuster, settling claims with people who were in automobile accidents. So I managed to do that for, I think it was like 5, 6 years, 7 years, maybe. And then I decided to go try the other side of the fence because my day was full of negotiating with people on behalf of people who were insured with our company, negotiating with lawyers who represented the other side. Then I thought, well, because somebody dared me, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I will do that. I went and worked for lawyers. What an eye-opener on the level of deviousness on both sides was extremely interesting to me. And when you got to one side, they would kind of program you how devious the other side was. And when you're on this side, they would program you on how devious and the tricks and the trade over there. And then you came away going, you're both the same. You're the same people, you're doing the same thing, and you're acting just the same. So then I always ask myself, is this normal human behavior? Or is it taught behavior?
It's conditioned. My sense is that it's a little bit of both. Because we as human beings are wired for impending danger, right?
Right.
We're always on high alert. You know, we got that from our primordial ancestors waiting around the bend for the big tiger or lion or big animal to come and eat us. So
rhinos,
you know, the rhinos, you know, like it's like the dog with a squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. I mean, we're always on high alert. So the cortisol levels and the adrenaline levels are always pumping. So we're ready to lunge. We're ready to either fight, flee, or hide. And so it spills over in all of our relationships, including our working relationships. And because we're talking about how we are at work, even if somebody says something to you that's offensive and you don't like it, a lot of times we think we don't have the right to say anything because we're at work.
Yeah.
But what happens is being authentic, because now that common denominator comes back to again, which is human to human. Because we're human to human, if we can really intentionally live from our heart, and what I mean by that is live who you sincerely are, that's why it's important to identify what you believe, what your values are. Because if you don't identify what your values are, then anything goes. then you're going to compromise. They're not going to be that important to you to, and then you keep dimming your light or you compromise the value. And then pretty later on, you've lost yourself. I've done that. I've done that. I've, because somebody didn't like the way I was, I changed for them so they would like me, and I lost myself.
And
what is the big deal for us to say, you know what, that statement you made hurt me. That feels my experience of what you just said. My experience of what you just said is I feel pain. I feel insulted. I feel, what is it? Why, where does that come from? What else is going on with you? What else are you not saying? And what is it? You know, let's get in it. Understand that it's okay to feel what we feel, even if I feel in judgment. Why isn't it okay to say right now? And I'm not saying to say this to your boss or anything like that, but even to ourselves, why isn't it okay to say, you know, I'm a human being. I'm feeling judgment right now. I want to blame you for how I feel. I want to blame you for this project falling apart. I want to blame you. I want to find blame somewhere else.
Yep.
Because this project fell apart and it's somebody's fault and it ain't mine.
Well, and then you blame that person for everything. Everything. You're the reason I burned dinner. You're the reason this happened, that happened. You could go back 24 to 48 hours.
There's two things. Disease number one is finger pointy-itis.
Yeah.
I think I've mentioned this before. Finger pointy-itis is when we point the finger out pure and simple, and we want to blame somebody else for how we feel. I have a new symbol for that. It's the remote control. When we give somebody else the remote control and the power over how we feel, then we're not even in control of ourselves. We've given this remote control to somebody else. They can push our button and they do this, 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 and this.
You know, my grandmother
taught me
that.
Well, now you're pissing me off.
No, but my grandmother taught me, when you point your finger at somebody and you're saying something bad, the three fingers are pointing back at you.
That's right.
So that means you need to check yourself three times.
That's right. You check what you believe, how you behave, and who you are.
Exactly.
There you go. You just bought right into the three B's, because
that's it.
And you ask, what do I believe about this?
Yep.
What do I believe about this? Am I a victim? And then what do I believe about being a victim, whether you're at home or your work? Sometimes we victimize ourselves at work because of the way our bosses or our coworkers are.
Yeah.
And we become a victim of them. But when we stay centered and we check in and go down there and see, what do we believe about this? And how am I behaving? Am I behaving the same way they are that I don't like? Usually when we point the finger, we find something about them we don't like, but it's the same thing we don't like about ourselves.
Oh my gosh, you're being so true.
But it's, and so, it is true.
But it's so much easier to do this. We think it's easier, but it's not. When we take responsibility, and that's where the behavior comes, take responsibility for what comes out of your mouth. Take responsibility for our behavior, how we act. Are we kind? Are we thoughtful? Our standard high? Do we have a high standard of excellence? Is my integrity level, am I reliable? Am I trustworthy? What am I bringing into my experience of this?
Yeah.
Whether it's you traveling, being in a house that you like to see with the way you do, or me babysitting at 8 years old, sitting on the couch while the kids were sleeping, going, their kitchen needs cleaning. Why am I sitting here? It feels like I'm doing nothing for what I'm getting paid, 25 cents an hour, 8 years old. But I would get up and I'd clean their kitchen. And they would come home and they'd go, wow,
cool.
And I did a really good job, because that's how my mother trained me, is to clean. That was one of the things that we had to do in my house, and being the
part of your values, you know. But this is interesting, because when you become the victim, and if you stay in that circumstance, it doesn't get any better.
No.
It starts then anger comes from that. Hatred comes from that. You hate going to work. So if it could be colleagues, it could be a boss. And then if you can be strong enough to address the situation, like you're talking about, your beliefs, your values, and if that still doesn't go well, you do have the ability to walk away. And I think a lot of times people get stuck instead of going, okay, this is really miserable. What can I do to make a change? You don't have to keep going back to the same place. You can make, we have choices in life.
Right.
And I think that if you're in a bad situation, if you've got an abusive boss, you know, maybe a sexist boss, a racist boss, get out. You don't have to put up with that. Mm-hmm. And it may be scary to go and look for something. It may be that you live in an area that doesn't have, you know, the work that you want to do. So maybe it is a big life change. But if you stay in that place, you are going to be controlled for the rest of your life. That is a choice.
But there's also the coloring of judgment. Like sometimes what you think is happening isn't really.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy. The Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.
What's happening?
Like, that's emotional. You're
coloring what you're seeing, which can make you angry. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So sometimes you need to calm down and take a authentic, real look at things, not a big emotional temper tantrum kind of thing. And have a look and see, well, really, what part did I play? What part did the other person play? Or other, you know, maybe it's committee, like committee meetings, and it didn't go the way you thought it would. And well, committees are fun. I mean, it's like boards of directors, you know, you think you have everything, you know, really formatted correctly and done right. And then there's always going to be one or two who start, you know.
Part of the deal. You know, it's funny. Over the years, I mean, I have a huge confession, and that was that I have, and this is a confession because a lot of people, I don't know, maybe can't relate to what I'm going to say. I have always loved every job I've ever had.
That's always. Cool.
Since I was 8 and babysitting to being a teenager, having a hair cutting business in my apartment building.
Cool.
You go, girl. Working at Fedco in my senior year of high school, stacking toys and making sure all the toys were lined up properly. While I went to school 4 hours and worked 4 hours, I have always loved working, always.
Yeah.
And the difference, and here's the thing, is I'm me when I go to work. Mm-hmm. I am no different than who I am. I love enjoying myself. I love doing a good job. Mm-hmm. I take pride in my work. I have a high standard of excellence. I love creating beauty. I love creating cohesion. I love working. I love, one of my favorite things in life is to manifest thought into form.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
And
so working is good.
Working is fantastic.
Oh, you need to. If you don't do anything, it's like, ooh.
You usually when you leave a job or you don't like a job, it's not the job. It's a person who is controlling you in a manner that you just do not wish to be controlled. You know, there's a boss who's overbearing. There's a boss who's kind of...
Mine.
I like the remote control. I'm going to use it.
Use it. Mm-hmm. It is so... I come up with symbols for everything because symbols are an anchor to anchor in information. Mm-hmm. And when I see this remote control, or we talk about giving up control to somebody else, I go straight to the remote and it makes perfect sense. Because what does the remote do? It does this and the channels change and the moods change. And you can go to happy, to sad, to mystery, to scared, to, you know, all these different things.
Hey, I want to take you to a casino. She's going to go, not this machine, that machine.
I want the remote control and you go to work and you change your boss.
Wow, there you go. Well, here's the secret of that. Interesting you say that. When you change, energy changes. Mm-hmm. And it gives the possibility of your boss changing more than keeping him in an asshole box. Mm-hmm. In an asshole box. Because when mm-hmm. we put somebody in an asshole box, they can't get out no matter what they do.
Right.
We need to let them out. And so we need to let go of the image.
Yeah. Let them out and tease them.
Let them all out. There's hundreds.
Right. Let them out. Let them out.
Well, it's like if you put a monkey in a cage, it goes berserk. It's like an animal in a zoo. Right. But I don't want to compare that to an asshole boss. Animals are awesome and they don't belong in zoos. But you know what I mean? Once you're pegged, I think that's, you know, because you could go to your boss and say, like, dude, I don't like what you're saying, or this mm-hmm. is, you know, this is, you know, look at the Me Too movement. No, how many women sat there and didn't stand mm-hmm. up for themselves? And it was a culture. It was a old belief mm-hmm. system, too. Women mm-hmm. had it themselves. Women, right. you know, right. I was raised the other way of like, hell no, you know. And you nip it in the butt. But it's hard too if you're pressured because of a job. Sometimes it's hard depending on your husband or your wife, or you know, it's these situations are delicate, but you have to, I think once you plan something, you need to like know it. It's almost like preparing for a speech. So when you go in to do something, you have it. You've already seen it play in your mind.
Yes.
You know, my grandmother taught me, like, when somebody is really what you would call an asshole, they're very insecure. And so they put on this persona that they're not. They can't fulfill the persona they're trying to be because it's not really them. They're covering up their insecurity.
So they're not being authentic.
Exactly. No. That's why in the article that I'm writing for the magazine, we talk about being able to change and set the tone by how it is that you're approaching what it is that you're doing. And the focus is on what you bring to your experience. And again, it goes back to the values of what we believe. Mm-hmm. How do we truly want to live our life? Who do mm-hmm. we want to be as a human being? What kind of human being do I want to be, and make some choices there? If I'm mm-hmm. stuck of their beliefs that are holding me, that's telling me I'm not enough and I'm not okay enough to be able to speak up and say what I feel as a human being, then this environment is, I'm either going to pluck myself out of that environment, depending on the values that I feel, or I'm going to begin by honoring what I'm experiencing and say it in a way, when it comes from the heart, you can't argue with it. I feel this. I experience that. Mm-hmm. You're taking responsibility for, you're either responding, and this goes to your point, Nancy, what you said, you're either responding, which is mm-hmm. from the inside out, or you're reacting.
Right.
From the outside in. Mm-hmm. And what I love to teach people how to do is live from the inside out. Mm-hmm. Bring that authentic you to the surface so that you feel happy and fulfilled no matter where you are in your mm-hmm. life, including a place where, and the whole notion is, what if some people go to work and they just get a job and to pay the bills? We know that.
Right.
But mm-hmm. what if the purpose was to enjoy yourself? What if the sole purpose of being a human being, again, it's taking it out of the role playing, being a human being doing what we do, what if the whole thing was just to enjoy ourselves and be happy and live yummy, delicious lives and share our talents and our skills? And that was the whole reason, in that when we contributed those things that we were given, and they're received at work and they're built in bigger, look at what you guys have done. You've created thought into form like masters. Oh, I have an idea. Mm-hmm. I want to do this. Oh yeah. Now let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do that. Manifest, mm-hmm. manifest, idea, thought, manifest, thought, mm-hmm. manifest. You didn't stop to say, am I, let's see, I don't know. Maybe it's not okay if we do this. What will people think of me if we, you just do it. Do it.
Well, there's certain things we can't put on there, but you know.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. What You're moving energy. Mm-hmm. We are responsible. You want to talk business? Become the CEO of your own life, which mm-hmm. is Chief Energy Officer. Mm-hmm. We are managers of our own energy. We're responsible for how to manage our happy, our joy factor. I mean, I've got a yummy, delicious life scale where you can see, where do you hover most of the time? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of tools that we can use to start being aware of this. And then once you're aware of something, like you have a limited belief, you discover one that has been running you on automatic all these years, and you discover one, you go, huh. And then there's, I have this fabulous three-step, it's a miracle three-step change formula that will change anything, any belief, any behavior that you have in your life. And it's just becoming aware. It's a simple formula. Mm-hmm. Become aware. When you're aware, do I really want to continue to believe that? If beliefs are like the ether and we're just picking things, pick and choosing, why can't we just not choose a belief or re-choose a new belief to replace mm-hmm. the old belief that makes us feel bad? So we have a new belief that makes us feel better, makes right. us feel good inside, makes us feel joyful. If we make everything up anyway, why don't we make up the things that make us feel joyful and want to live a yummy, delicious life and believe we can
change. Things change so fast everything in this world. You have to keep changing. And
it's like trading baseball cards.
Yes. Right. You have to re-examine your belief system from time to time. You really do, because as things are found out.
Right.
I want to take history as an example. What we have thought for years and years and years changes every time they find a new fossil. When they go, oh no, we thought all of these animals came from here. Well, now since we found this older fossil over here, we really now know that that wasn't true. And then everybody argues about it. Nobody knows, but here's the evidence and there's some evidence. Right. And eventually, the belief has to shift of right. what we thought. We right. think all based on what we know at a particular time. Mm-hmm. And exactly. things change. And in our world, because of the internet and television and radio, things change so fast. Mm. You know, it's not like you have to get a book out of the library to learn something new.
Right.
You should, but now it's like you're inundated and things change really, really fast. And so it's hard to keep up sometimes. Old ideas are old ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. I think have a refresher. Yeah.
I like mm-hmm. the three B's and what you're talking about being mm-hmm. aware, and then, okay, now you can change your beliefs mm-hmm. and then take action, right. you know? And I exactly. think when you get to that centering part, there's a difference. If you're insecure, people mm-hmm. have a hard time connecting with insecurity. And people will also take advantage of that. There's those two things that happen mm-hmm. if someone is insecure. And it's insecure because you haven't made those decisions. And what I love about your article and everyone, it's up on blendradioandtv.com, is that you have the series of questions. And I think that's mm-hmm. something that we have New Year's resolutions, but like today's New Year's Day, we're going on Monday, everybody goes back to work. Oh, hell. So asking these questions, do you think that to really, we need to take time for our emotional intelligence, I believe, as human beings. We can read all the self-help books, but if we don't actually do the work behind it, it's like the law of attraction. Everybody's like, oh, I want chocolate and it's going to magically appear. Like, I really want that to happen. That'd be cool.
That'd be cool, but it's not happening.
But sometimes it does in weird and mysterious ways.
That's when you think about going to the store and buying it.
Yeah, you know, but you know what I mean? It's like you manifest, but it is about, you can't just go, oh, I want, you know, it's putting those actions behind it. So when people look at those questions in the article and also go through your courses, Do you think people should be writing their answers down, like journaling, maybe doing, I don't know, vision maps, what are those, vision boards, that kind of thing, to kind of really align and get into it instead of just going in their mind, oh, I read these, kind of answered, but never.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like an action that has to happen to get it in our body.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a neural pathways in our brain that loop mm-hmm. around and around and around. And so, Einstein always said it's insanity to do the same thing over and over and expect a different result. So what happens is those neural pathways, there's synapses in between and they connect and then they loop and loop and loop. So if they're mm-hmm. beliefs that are running us, then we almost don't even remember or are aware consciously mm-hmm. that they're running us and we just react. Mm-hmm. It comes mm-hmm. from outside in, even though it's coming from our mind, but originally it was an outside thought that we're reacting to. Why are we insecure? Something happened out there mm-hmm. that we took on as an offense or victim or something. And so it altered the way we feel about ourselves. And so, mm-hmm. yes, it's important to take the time, because if we don't take the time to rewire those neural pathways, what makes us think anything is going to be different tomorrow? It's not.
Exactly.
It's going to just repeat the same thing over mm-hmm. and over and over until we don't, until we say, stop, pause, deep breath. Do I want to continue? What do I believe about what's happening right now? You could even just start there. But asking mm-hmm. ourselves quality questions is a way to get in. You know, mm-hmm. what values or qualities in life do you feel are important to you? Mm-hmm. You know, does mm-hmm. the organization reflect that? We talked a little bit about that. Is their integrity level the same? Mm-hmm. You know, have you compromised your values for the sake of a job? What do you believe about that? Do mm-hmm. you believe that you have to compromise your values in order to have a safe job?
So and once you start doing that, it's a slippery slope, right?
Right.
Yeah,
so
that's
check
a mess.
Check in. Check in with your what you believe. Check in with your language. Mm-hmm. Check in. Do you should all over yourself? How many mm-hmm. shoulds do you use in a day?
That I thought you said something else. I'm like, I don't want to do that. That's a stinky mess.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, shoulding all over yourself is a stinky mess, because mm-hmm. should is a setup word. Mm-hmm. It makes you think you're supposed to do something that mm-hmm. you know you're not going to do, but you say you should do it. Even
but
though
I ain't gonna.
You committed to doing it,
mm-hmm. yeah.
then you feel bad that you didn't do it. Mm-hmm. So now you say, I should have done it.
Mm-hmm.
You're always left feeling bad around that.
Well, and that's a good way of making yourself feel like a victim all the time. And then the victim thing is...
That doesn't move you up in a company.
No, it doesn't do anything. It's crippling. You know, becoming a victim over and over and over again, self-induced victimization.
Yeah.
And it opens a door. You know, we're still animals. And one thing animals can perceive is weakness in another animal. So when you play victim, it's not just, are you doing it to yourself? Those about you that can recognize, oh, that's a victim over there, they're going right in. So you really need to mm-hmm. Put your big shoes on.
Big girl panties on.
Yeah. Well, and big boy, not and panties. But
boxers, big boy boxers.
Boy briefs.
Oh, there you go, yeah. Briefs.
What are they wearing?
That's not a nice word for that.
That was brief.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Don't get us started.
See, now we're going to get in trouble. That you'd already be taken into the principal's office. You can't be talking like that at work.
Okay.
So look, anyway, you can take all of this language. What's important is to be able to be aware of mm-hmm. what you believe. What do you believe about work? What do you believe about your own success? Do you believe you're not enough? Do you believe somebody else knows more than you? Do you believe collaborating is a sign of weakness? Do you believe being a hard ass at work is the way to do it, to have that power mm-hmm. so that you're bamming somebody over the head with the remote? Mm-hmm. You've got the remote and you're doing this to everybody else, thinking you're in control of them. No. Mm-hmm. You have to take a look at what do you believe? Do you believe in teamwork? Mm-hmm. Really be honest with yourself at work. I mean, if you are a dictator and you're in a team, it's going to be difficult to play with other
people. That doesn't work.
But when you become mm-hmm. conscious, and here's the whole deal, you become conscious of what you believe, how you behave, what language you use, what tone do you use?
Mm-hmm.
Do you use a tone that's sarcastic? Do you use a judgmental tone? Do you use a condescending tone? to use a kind tone, a thoughtful tone, an encouraging tone. Home on the range, with the encouraging word. I mean, the da 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 da. Remember that? You know, to become your authentic self at work is bringing who you are to what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Not what you do, it's how you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You could be washing dishes and be the happiest person. You could be cleaning someone's house. I mean, I have had beautiful, wonderful housekeepers who come and they whistle and they sing while they work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, yeah. And then you have the richest people in the world that are unhappy with walking from one room to another.
Well, there's something about this, because when you know who you are, if you're working in a situation where your colleagues or even your boss is using your work, I mean, there's those situations. And so maybe you've kind of hit the ceiling on how far you can go, and you become annoyed with the people you're working with. Maybe, you know, maybe it's a few people who are taking or using you, basically. And I have a really good friend who went through that, but she's really, really good. And she's like, I don't think I can do this anymore. There's no more growth here. And they're using my work. They're, you know, the muckety mucks at the top are taking mine and using my name, not using my name. Yet the people she worked, she's a good networker and stuff everywhere. They knew who she was and who she is. And as soon as she made that decision, of course, a massive opening at a massive company came in. And within over a weekend, she had to put a big proposal together and she got the job. And then within 3 months, she got promoted. And then that happened again, because now she's in an organization that does work with a team, does have those shared values. And once, you know, and so, I mean, it's amazing. But that one place, here she is, there was nowhere else for her to go. And yet the head person, basically the founder of it, is just using her stuff, like not even. So she just was like, there's no growth. You know,
that's it. When she got to a place where she honored herself and honored her skills, honored her talents, honored her gifts, honored herself as a human being and her values. Mm-hmm. And she said, no mo, no mo, no mo. No,
that's something.
No. And when we do that, we're honoring ourselves. We bring that honor into our next experience, because now we're stepping in to who we are, and we're not letting somebody else diminish us or dismiss us or do all of those things that we did
because
we were not feeling so wonderful.
Well, look at the hospitality industry and teachers. Oh my gosh, the education system, teachers. We have, because how much load the teachers have been carrying without the support, without the admin support, is ridiculous. I mean, they, you know, they keep putting up and they're like, you know what? At the end of the day, I need to step out and do something different for me, my family. I may enjoy teaching, but teaching can go into so many careers, right?
Yeah, different realms.
That's a huge thing. And so COVID, that's why I think it's so great about what we're talking about. So many people have just given, you know, take this job and shove it. You know, it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that is about being true. I think during COVID, people kind of went, you know what? Do I really need that extra car? Do I need these extra things? Because I'm killing myself. I'm not having fun with my kids. I'm not doing that. But then there's a strength that comes once you make these decisions. You need to not lose that core like you're talking about. I think it's very timely, because it's scary going off and doing something new, but it's exciting. I think it's you know.
Honey, every single moment is new.
Oh, good one.
Every single moment.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Every breath that we take, every inhale is new.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new inhale. Remember, we're born with an inhale and we die with an exhale. One inhale, one exhale. Everything in between is up to us, the way we live our life and the depth and the quality, what we want out of it, what we want out of our jobs. I mean, I was hired in 1982, before China was open to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still communist. I mean, it probably still is, but it's on a different label.
Mm-hmm.
But I was hired by a Chinese import company that hand crocheted tablecloths and bedding. And I was at a marketing design company at the time. We were designing a line of European duvet covers. And so they hired us to redo their catalog sheets. We had catalog sheets, printed catalog sheets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Fun.
Computers, 1982, mm-hmm. right? And to create a new marketing campaign for the United States, because their old sheets looked like funeral parlors, like a hand crocheted thing with a candle on it. And it was so depressing. And so I was on a road trip and came up with this theme. And the reason I'm telling you is very important theme called the Magic Hands of China, because I wonder to myself, what are they motivated by? They're not motivated by money because it's a communist country. Everybody gets the same. Right. Mm-hmm. So it was the same. They weren't motivated by money. What were they motivated over? And what I discovered was they were motivated by the pride in the quality of their work.
Mm.
And they would pass down their craft to their children at 6 years old. So if you were a hand crocheted person or whatever, embroidered, you would teach your daughter to do the same at 6 years old. And so they passed the hand. So then it dawned on me, wow, they're making these gorgeous, beautiful heirlooms with their hands. They're creating living heirlooms through their children. I created this whole thing, a whole story around it. It just touched me so deeply. When we got to China, we were able to go to the factory where the women made these in big, huge rooms with person sitting at big, long tables with wearing all white and being very antiseptic and very clean, hand crocheting. Their hands were going like this. I mean, they were crocheting with this one tablecloth, right? They cried when they saw the campaign. They said nobody had ever gotten that before or ever brought it out. It's the quality. It's what we bring into our experience. Even the worst job in the world, it's not what makes it the worst job in the world. It's not the outside people necessarily. It's what we bring to what we are doing.
Exactly.
If we're contributing, if we're bringing love, if we're bringing heart, if we're bringing kindness, if we're bringing consideration, if we're bringing joy and we're bringing humor and we're bringing fun and we're bringing in all these qualities, like you make this yummy, delicious soup of these qualities.
She's cooking again.
Yes. Can't get me out of the kitchen. Instead of a soup filled with anger and resentment and victim and you know, regret and not enoughness, that soup, who wants to drink that soup?
Well, see, I think that also when people are not changing, if they're in a career where they just kind of, this is my job and I'm sticking here, and then they start to get crotchety, younger people come in. We're seeing this with communities, people moving into a smaller community, and the people that have been there is like, don't you make this LA, you know, this is this town, you know. And we see that also in companies where there's a shift. Look at Twitter. Oh boy, that's a whole other story. But you know, here's a shift coming in. Here comes people that have been here. This is how we've always done it. And this is that. And we know everything. The younger people come in, not necessarily younger, actually, it could be, you know, just new people coming in
different
and going,
ideas.
Hey, we've got this way of doing it. I've tried that. It didn't work. Well, maybe it didn't work at that time frame. And that's something I always, you know, want to say. Some things just were they weren't premature for the world, you know. How many times have we done things that we're a little ahead of our time, not quite ready?
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean it was bad.
Yeah.
So there's this culture in a company where we work together, even if you've done it before and you've been there, maybe somebody else has that one extra little spice that makes that recipe, that soup, like the umami.
Right.
You've got to have the umami, yummy, delicious.
Right.
So, but, sorry, I play with dogs.
I love it.
But that's the thing. I think there's also that level where people get so, this is my position, this is how I do it, and there will be no changes, you know. And
that brings me to the next.
Can't do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I like that. Wait, can I get a beer?
This is another symbol. And this symbolizes what you just said. Don't pry someone's heart open if they don't want it open. You can't change somebody by just loving. You can't change somebody by going in and and seeing if they're going to change, hoping they're going to change. You can't. So you allow for that person, but you come from a different perspective. To me, there's a very many creative ways of doing it. One of my clients was going after a very big position as the executive director of her nonprofit organization. And she had the qualifications and they had some other candidates and the qualifications. But what set her apart was to the heart that helped her to bring out in what she does and how she does it. So that they would find, because buying or making decisions are usually a very emotional experience. It's an emotional experience. When you buy, you go shopping. It's an emotional experience. When you hire somebody, it's an emotional experience. When you do something, it's an emotional experience. So what you want is to allow the human part to come forth. You can say, what if, can you imagine if in 5 years' time, we this and this happened? Or what if we were able to collaborate in a way that everybody felt heard and everybody got their input in and they felt heard enough to shift something, even one iota, which is another symbol, which is this one. I've got three symbols. So this one is the teeny tiny screwdriver that we use to repair our eyeglasses. But what this symbolizes is that all it takes is a teeny, teeny, tiny adjustment in our thinking, and it changes everything, everything. And so it doesn't take a monumental shift in an organization to change. It just takes a tiny little perception shift so that you can see from a different angle.
Different
lens. I have a workshop where we have different glasses with different shapes, and you put on different glasses. You could see the lens from anger. You could see the lens through, you know, grief. You can see the lens.
I want rose-colored glasses.
Rose-colored glasses, exactly. So we each see our lives through different lenses, depending on the experiences that we've had. Those are our filters. Those are our lenses that we put on. But they did not get a rocket to the moon in a straight shot. What they did was they had a shitload of adjustments. So many, a tiny, eensy, beensy, one iota shift. No, not a bare shift. One dial, one knob, one. Because if they didn't, the rocket would veer off too far and we'd never see it again.
It'd go in a black hole.
Yeah, because with no gravity, it just goes tiny, teeny, tiny adjustments in thinking. What's important for us to remember, being authentic, is bringing more of who we are into where we work, and not separate and leave that person home and then become a role or think we're supposed to be a certain way at work and a different way at home. That's why some people believe you have to be a hard ass, but there may not be a hard ass at home. But maybe they have hard ass tendencies, and that's the edge that they think they have over other people. Nobody's saying you don't want to be assertive or determined or, you know, any of those things of clarity, of mission. But at work, I say bring out the genius in every single person. Everybody has their own genius in their own way. A secretary, a vice president, a mechanical engineer, everybody has their genius. A receptionist, maybe their flair is to be able to communicate and talk with people, to let them feel at ease and welcome and, you know, all of that.
Happy, yeah.
Happy, joyful. I mean, you don't want somebody representing you to answer the phone.
Well, but it's the same in sales and marketing. Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really big deal. And people, you know, hate the car salesperson. Oh my God, they're, you know, the snake oil salesman kind of thing. But really, a good salesperson is about being able to identify the needs and personality of the person that they're trying to help. They're actually assisting, and they're going,
matching product.
They're understanding your personality so that they can help you and communicate better. It's not, you know, yes, there's some shucksters out there. Is that a word, shuckster? It is now.
Yeah. Oh,
that sounds good.
I'm watching my language. But there are some people out there doing things that aren't great, but this is in as a whole, that's something very important, because the whole world of business revolves on sales and marketing and the exchanging of money to make the world go round. And so that's something too, I think, is very important about being strong in your own core, in your values, in what you're doing, because that's another thing. What you do as a provider to someone, you've got to have your values aligned to do it. You know what I mean? It's like we've all got to work together to have a relationship. And we're a very service-oriented world too, which means relationships. You know, so I think this is such a cool conversation, Shelley.
But when you sell something to somebody, you're solving a problem for them. That's the whole idea of sales. I need this, and they go and find something that matches what you need, mm-hmm. and what you want, and they solve a problem for you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they do.
Exactly. And that's the most important thing, that you're being of service. Mm-hmm. And we want to, I know those of us who are in the care business, because we're all in the care business, everybody mm-hmm. really is, but they may not identify it. You have caretakers mm-hmm. of older people and younger people and whatever, you have caregivers, caretakers, those kind of one and the same kind of thing. But you have caregiving natures. Some people are mm-hmm. more caregiving than others, right? And so, and even those people who are surface oriented, who are self, who are, what do I want to say? Maybe narcissistic. There are those extremes mm-hmm. on those things. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is being able to bring who you are as a human being into what you do, because you're the same person. Why you want to be fulfilled in all the areas. We have like 8 main areas: career, relationships, health, blah, blah, blah. We've got so many different areas in our mm-hmm. life that we want to feel fulfilled. It's like a pie. I call it full mm-hmm. spectrum living. And there's a pie, and you can kind of do an assessment to see, where are you living? Where are you stronger? Where are you, where needs some more attention, and so on and so mm-hmm. forth. But when mm-hmm. we bring more of ourselves into what we do, we feel satisfied. We feel happy. We feel joyful. We feel like our lives have meaning. We feel like we matter. Mm-hmm. And what if you can't feel like you matter at work? What is the point?
Mm, yeah, move on.
What mm-hmm. are we doing, even in mm-hmm. relationships? Mm-hmm. I mean, so you see, you can't separate the human from the role we play, but we certainly can bring our skills into the workplace that we've been given and do them in a way that honors, that we bring honor and dignity and regard, not only to ourselves, but to our bosses, to our coworkers, to look at each other as equal human beings.
Mm-hmm. And that helps
more than
teamwork works that way, where someone is like, oh, I'm overwhelmed with this project. Well, hey, I can do this part really well. Let me help you with this part. Mm-hmm. And then when you're faltering, they can turn around and help pick you up.
Right.
You know, I think this is such a good conversation. Everyone, Shelley's article is up on blendradioandtv.com. So 3 B's to being human. I love it. I love that formula. Now I know you have different courses. So if everyone follows you on social media under Shelley Wizen, and go to shelleywizen.com, but you also work one-on-one with people as a coach, a transformational coach.
I do both professionally and personally. And, and I also bring in my experience of being a death midwife in the mix, which sounds interesting, but it's an interesting combination of experiences I've been exposed to give me a certain perspective to help somebody get to where they want to go as fast as possible. It's that a tiny little adjustment. It's that, that thing where you take this back, you take that back, you see all your tools. You use these tools that I've got with changing language, limiting statements. I've got some fantastic tools that are so easy, so simple that change just like that. I mean, I had a client who was in one of my groups, and one of the most profound things I think I've ever heard from anybody, he said, I didn't know that I could change a belief. When we're so conditioned to think a certain way, we think that's the way it is.
Right.
You hear people say, I can't change. Well, that's who I am. That's the way it is. That's the way this is. Because there's a belief that's stuck in there that says you cannot change a belief. It's in there, period, pure and simple. You have to suck it up and you have to accept it. A limitation. No. Beliefs are like thoughts that are in the ether. They're like clouds that float. They're on this belief tree, like a leaf. You can pick and choose which belief you want to have. But pick the beliefs that make you feel happy, that make you feel joyful, that
yummy, delicious,
that make that where you feel you're actually living a yummy, delicious life. What I mean, what a great thing to aspire to, right? To live a young, delicious life. And we can do that in so many different ways. So yeah, I've got, I do private, professional coaching for people who are in executive positions, CEOs, upper management, middle management. I mean, how to navigate their humanness in that scenario with as much honor, dignity, and grace, and with as much ease and grace as possible, and a lot of effing humor. That's what my you see my soul diving frog
he's cute.
Continually he's cute. Reminds me not to take myself too seriously and to bring in a sense of humor all the time.
You need a sense of humor to get through life.
Yeah, really, oh my gosh,
because that's the most fun anyways, when you're laughing.
Exactly.
It's releasing all those endorphins and
it's the pings.
Yeah. And it makes you see things from different perspectives, which is really important because sometimes if you're channel vision, just imagine if you could only watch one channel forever.
Yeah.
And no other channel.
I'm gonna put you on the lifetime channel.
Right.
Oh, no.
True crime.
Yeah. But that's why you're the blend. That's why I'm the way I am, because there's a multitude of avenues.
There's a lot of the world.
And pathways and ways to see the world. And it's so very exciting, especially when it comes to your professional life and work. And how do you choose to be at work? How do you choose to be? What's the quality of experience you want to have while you're working? You spend a hell of a lot of time working. So it might be damn wonderful. You know?
Okay.
When I like that the line of European bedding, and it was high end, it was beautiful. And we would say to Macy's or Bloomingdale's, we would say to them, or Neiman Marcus, we were in their stores, that you spend 8 hours a day, 7 hours a day in your bed. You spend a third of your life in your bed. It might as well be damn wonderful. You want to see something wonderful before you go to sleep at night when you wake up in the morning. And it's the same thing. You go to work, you want it to be damn wonderful. Why do we settle for less than wonderful in our lives?
Exactly.
So I help people navigate through that. And sometimes it doesn't take much. It just takes a little adjustment here and there, really.
Just a tweak. It's like getting an oil change. Sometimes you have to change the oil in the car, depending on
that sounds uncomfortable.
Just change your beliefs. Change your beliefs.
Awesome.
And, choose another way and then take an action on it, a baby step action. It's fun. I love doing all this.
This is awesome. Cool. And this is, everyone, again, our first Sunday where we're going to be doing soul diving Sundays with Shelly. So our next one is February 5th, and we're going to do some soul diving with the three B's for being human in relationships.
That one was fun too. Yummy. That's real yummy, delicious.
I know. Sometimes that's gonna be even fun, juicy. Yeah. Oh, she said that. Oh, don't start me.
She said the juicy word.
I know. Everyone, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Thank you all for joining us. And again, Happy New Year. Let's kick some butt.
Let's kick some butt. Get ready for this new year.
Yeah.